Where we'll start at this morning, 1 John chapter 2. Have several out this morning. I got to call they several got the stomach bug, so be careful. Be careful with your generosity. Okay. Some are traveling. Be generous, but not with a stomach bug. Okay. All right. Let's pray together. Father, we come this morning, and you are wonderful. There's no doubt about that. You are the great God, and they've sung about you. I'm glad for the change you make. I'm glad for what you do for us. I'm glad that you saved me, and Lord, it's not just us, Lord, me, it's personal, and Lord, I'm thankful. I deserve nothing. You've given me everything. Lord, there's not been a time that you've not been faithful, not been a time that you've not been almighty, not been a time that you ain't took care of things, and I get in your way so much. You try to take care of some things and get all fumbled up inside of me, Lord, where I just try to stand in your way. Lord, help me to learn to be submissive and obedient. And Lord, I pray now this morning, I pray for your word. I pray that it'll speak to our heart. And Lord, as it changes us, as you give it free course, Lord, we must have the Holy Spirit. Lord, please cleanse me and give me power to preach as you want me to preach. Lord, I pray for everyone that's listening today here in the sanctuary, but those will listen later, those on live stream. And Lord, I pray for all the electronic stuff that's been bad, and as they work on it and try to fix it and they're finding more problems, Lord, I pray that you give them wisdom, help them to fix that, for it's so important to so many people. Lord, I pray now that we might be pleasing unto you. We're going to thank you and praise you for all that you are and all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, and amen. Last week, we preached on how serious are you. A couple weeks before, we preached on being addicted to the ministry. And we're going to lay another line down and just write together maybe the two on a track and it's a trolley war. We'll see if we can't get something to run as we put these together and we look at some things this morning. I believe with all my heart that there is important things in our life that we miss because of our position or because of our commitments unto the Lord. And as we've mentioned in the past, we mentioned again this morning, commitments are they're few and far between anymore, or at least full-fledged commitments. We already know that people don't like to work a whole week. They don't like to work a whole day. They don't ask. Nowadays, I was told that when they come looking for a job, it used to be everybody was worried about the hourly rate. You went and said, well, how much you going to give me an hour? Now they ask how often you want me to be here. I mean, that's what I've been told. Now, I don't have nobody work for me. I don't know that. But that's what, it's because of commitment. There's other things more important. And it's no difference in the church house. It's no different with us and the Lord that things are not, there's nowhere it needs to be. We've lost so much down through the years, generation to generation. We don't have what the older ones had. We don't have the go. We don't have the drive. We don't have the sacrifice. We don't have the commitment. We are, I believe even the scripture will tell us that we are gleaning off of fields we never planted. We're eating off the rows of corn that we never did put in the ground. We're benefiting what others have done instead of what we've done ourselves. But somewhere that's going to run out. And the next generation, if not the next one, the one after that, the generations ahead of us, what are they going to fall back on if we don't continue? The importance, I don't know that we grasp the importance of our walk with Christ, how others see us, not for a show, but see the truth. People pass every day. I had another friend that passed this week. To my knowledge, I was told that they had heard that there had been a change in their life, but to my knowledge, I never knew them to darken a church door. But another personality in eternity. And as we was talking in the prayer room, this is what we hear when we talk to people. Well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I don't drink. I don't run around on my family. I work every day. I pay my debts. I don't owe nobody nothing. I'm a good person. I'm a good neighbor. I attend to my own business. I don't fool nobody. Don't mess around nobody. And I'm just as good, because I can't say that about a bunch of church people. You ever had anybody tell you that? Why is that? Because of the inconsistency of the believer. And it's all in what we want. Now, we preached last Sunday on how serious are we. This morning, we want to give you a little simple title on desire. What do you want? Desire. Desire. What is your desire? What do you want? What are you after? What do you want? Do you want the world? You want Christ. Do you only want a home in heaven and want the world until you die? Is that all that you want? Do you only want a place that you can pie in the sky, as been termed? A place that after everything is done and you've done lived your life and done sowed all the wild oats and you've done got in your retirement years and after everything is done, then you go to heaven and see loved ones. That Christ is not even in your mind of a day. That walking with Christ, let me ask you, is walking with Christ in your mind of a day? Do you think about walking with Him? Do you think about talking with Him? Do you think about being submissive to Him? Do you have that kind of desire? Or do you have the desire of only the world? If you think about the word desire as a noun, if you look it up as a noun, it's a powerful urge or ambition or craving to attain something. It's a powerful urge, or ambition or craving to obtain something. That's as a noun. As a verb, it's to wish or want something with deep intent. It goes a little further. It's not just a powerful urge or ambition, but it's then a wish or want. There's more to it. I was reading about from a psychologist standpoint that desire acts as a core motivation in the state of mind of a person. What's your desire? What do you want? What do you want? See, it matters not what anybody else does. It matters not what anybody else says. It matters not what anything is provided. It's all going to boil down to what do you want. See, we've said it for years. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do. When I want to do it, how I want to do it. That's what I'm going to do. Now, I may do it tactfully or I may do it bluntly, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Now, that don't matter whether it's in the world or for church or the Lord or anything. Everybody does what they want to do. Right. Even children. Right. Children that's undisciplined, which there's a lot of undisciplined children. Yes. And they do what they want to do. Watch them in the store. Watch them in public. They do what they want to do. They act the way they want to act. And it's because that's what they've been taught. They've been taught to do that very thing. So, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Desire pushes a person to take action. What it says. Desire pushes a person to take action to fulfill a goal or a need. What do you desire? I believe, Linda, I believe you used to sing a song years ago on "It's My Desire to Live for Jesus." It's my desire. It's been a long time ago you used to sing it. It's my desire. Is that your want? See, I'm asking you this morning. You don't have to answer out loud. I don't want you to raise your hand or anything. I want you to think about what you desire. See, desire, I want you to think about this. Desire is not neutral. Desire is not neutral. See, things are very simple. Things are very simple. You're either saved or you're lost. You're not part saved, almost saved, a little lost. You're either saved or you're lost. That's very simple. You're either going to heaven as you sit there, or you're going to hell as you sit there. Now, it's the same way if you are a believer. It's the same way with Christ. You are either living for Christ or you're living for the world. You cannot do both at the same time. It does not work. There is no example nowhere that you can live for Christ and live for the world. It matters what you want. It matters what you want. I always think Cheryl likes to get a hot dog down at Piggly Wiggly, down at Foodland. And it's always funny. She goes down and this is what she tells me. I want a hot dog with everything. Well, if you get a hot dog with everything, you know what that means? Everything. But she don't say that. She said, I want the hot dog with everything but onion. So that's what I order. I order a hot dog with everything but onion. See, we want everything but. We want everything. Now, we say everything because that means we're in our mind, it's going to be a lot on it. But then we start taking away. And that's the way we are today with Christ. Because that's our desire. That's what we want. We do what we want. I'm asking you this morning, desire, what your desire is. What do you want? What do you want this morning? Yeah. Last Sunday we asked you, how serious are you? A couple Sunday nights ago we asked about being addicted to the ministry, about being addicted to the things of God, addicted to the Word of God, the service of God. Let's look here in 1 John chapter 2. We'll start here. There's several scriptures this morning. I want you to think about them. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 is where we'll start. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now that's what the Bible said. No matter what I think of it or anybody else, I mean, I can't change it, that's what it said. It shows me that there in verse 16, for all that is in the world. Now this is what's in the world. This is why the Bible says for the believer not to love the world. Why? Because the first thing it lists, it says the lust of the flesh. Don't seek or desire or love bodily pleasure. That's what that is. And then it says, and then the lust of the eyes. Alright? That's gain, material gain. Don't seek it. Don't love it. All right? Don't love the material. And then it says, and the pride of life. Arrogance. against God, arrogance against right. I'm asking you, what do you want? What are you seeking? What do you seek after? What are you determined to have? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why does he tell us that? Because we're not supposed to be staying here. He has saved us out of the world. He left us in the world to be a witness, but we're not of the world. Is my mic on? We're not of the world. We're not supposed to be of the world. We're supposed to be different. Somewhere that born again life has got to kick in. And we don't do the things we used to do. And we don't act the way we used to act. And we don't live the way we live the new life. And we have the new likes and the new loves and the new desires. Because he puts desires in our heart. Are we okay? Are you understanding? Remember, desire is not neutral. Then verse 17, it says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. All these things that me included, everybody, that we run to is going to burn. You understand that everything that you see is going to burn. Everything that you have is going to burn. Every dollar that you have is going to burn up. Every house you have is going to burn up. Every car, every fishing pole, every gun, it don't matter what it is, all your clothes, your shoes, it's going to burn. You're not going to have nothing. You're not taking nothing with you. Nothing. Your diplomas and your certificates are gone. Your retirements are gone.
Right.
Burn up. You have nothing.
Right.
Nothing. And we spend our life trying to gain more here. The only reference that we have or example really that's really negative all the way is but the rich fool that said, I will tear down my barns and build bigger. His desire was only for more here. And Jesus said, you're a fool. For this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose stuff's going to be now?
Right.
Huh? Think about that. That's what the Bible says. Think about that. Look in Titus chapter 2. I'm asking you what you want this morning. What you want. Titus chapter 2. Let's look at verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now it's appeared to all men and then it does something. It's teaching. What's it teaching us? The grace of God that's appeared to all men. All of us. All of us. We're taught. It teaches us to deny ungodliness. And worldly lust, desires, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for our focus, our thoughts are supposed to be on Christ, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Love not the world. Don't seek the world. Deny the worldly lust. We wonder sometimes why there's no power in the church. Because the church is not seeking God. We're seeking worldly lust. We're not walking in the Spirit because we're carnal. You can't do both. You got to do one or the other. Huh? You're either living for Christ, seeking Christ, and it can't be part-time. It can't be just every now and again. It don't work that way. It's for Christ or you're against Christ. He says, Jesus said, if you're not gathering, you're scattering. That's what Jesus said. And it makes it, it's so simple because of the choice that's laid out. But it's hard because it's what we want. When you see a kid throw a fit in Walmart, why are they throwing a fit? Because they've been given everything they want? No, because there's something they want and they're going to throw a fit till they get it. That's all that's in their mind. Huh? You see them anymore, you got to watch. They put a leash on the kid and put the pet in the buggy. Have you noticed that? I mean, are we messed up or what? I don't go to Walmart unless it's a, I've been to Walmart once this year, I think, maybe twice. I hate to go to Walmart. But it was in food line, and I seen a kid on a leash and a lap dog in the little compartment where you put your bread on the buggy. And I just had to walk away. We're messed up. We're messed up. And you say, well, what's that got? I'm talking about what we want, our desire. Our desire. I wonder this morning, now, I'm not trying to be smart aleck or sarcastic here, but are we supposed to be Christian all the time?
Yes.
When are we not, after we're saved, when are we not supposed to be a Christian? When are we not supposed to conduct ourselves as a Christian? There's no time. Just like they sung about the Lord, there's not a time He's not faithful. There's not a time He's not almighty. There's not a time He don't do. But when He comes in us, there's not supposed to be a time that any of that changes in us. But because of our desire. Because of our desire. Our want. What we want. What we are motivated to get. See, it's not just wanting. The desire is the act that motivates our mind. That desire is what motivates me. What do you want? What do you want from God? What do you want when you come to church? What's your desire when you come to church? When you come to church, are you seeking God? Or are you seeking appeasement? Are you seeking God and His power and His direction? Are you seeking appeasement? That you've done your little ditty and done your little do-good and now you can go back into the world. What are you seeking? Are you seeking a way to separate yourself, to learn more? Or are you just seeking an out of your guilt? What do you seek? What do you desire? What do you want? What do you want from the song? When the song is sung, do you want the song to move you to feel bubbly? Or do you want to use it that you can worship and praise the Lord?
Amen.
What do you want in the message? Do you want only a message that encourages you? Encourage you to do what? What do you want encouraged to do? Are you planning on doing more? Are you planning on doing great things for God? What's on your list? What do you want encouraged about? Drop a note in a basket. We'll try to, I'm asking what you want. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Are you wanting your family saved, your people saved? I mean, you tell me. I don't know. You know, are you wanting your church to grow or are you satisfied the way it is? Are you wanting young people to have more? I mean, what do you want? What are you desiring? What is your desire? What is your desire? Isaiah 26. A few scriptures we'll look at. I believe we're supposed to be, we get saved. I believe we're supposed, that's supposed to be our starting point. We get saved, and then we ought to grow and we ought to get all that we can get. From God. Not for prosperous here as the world terms, but for Him. Look in Isaiah chapter 26. Let's just start at verse 3. said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Now, who's going to be kept in perfect peace? The ones whose mind is stayed on thee. That's what it said. If you're not trying to keep your mind and desires on Christ, then you're going to be messed up and overwhelmed. There's not going to be no perfect peace that he promised us to have. That's what you're seeking. You're wanting peace. But we don't want to change. We want that button on a computer that's going to fix everything. But it says here, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Who? Whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee.
That's right.
Where's our desire? That's what the scripture said. Verse 4 then says, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Look here, verse 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire, ain't that what we're preaching about? The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Where's our desire? What do we want? What do we want? I don't know. I mean, that's up to you. Galatians chapter 5. See, there's a rub that comes in. Galatians 5 will explain it. Galatians 5, let's look at verse 16. Say, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust or the desire of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, this is why I said that there's no neutral ground. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It's got to be one or the other. In or out. In or out. But what do you want? See, what you want is going to be shown. Now listen to me now. What you want is shown in what you do. What you want is shown in how you live. You don't have to say a word. Because that's your desire. That's your desire. How about everybody likes money. Anybody don't like money? Huh? Ain't nobody. You know, I don't know of anybody. I ain't never seen no bonfires of money. You know, if you're going to burn it, let me know. I'll come by and get it for you. I'll burn it for you. 1 Timothy 6:10 says this. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not the issue.
Right.
We all got to have money to survive in this world. Even Christ needed money to pay taxes, and they caught a fish, and it had a coin in his mouth, and he paid his taxes. So money is not the issue. But it's the desire. It's the desire that overwhelms our focus. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. See, you can't run after both. Do you see that? For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. You can't go all the way and love the money and then live for God. You can't. Is it wrong to make money? No. Is it wrong to have money? No. No, no. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm talking about the focus, the desire, the consumption. What we're consumed. Yeah. I'm afraid we're afraid to be consumed of Christ because of what people will think. But how come we're not afraid of what people think when we go the other way? How come we're only afraid of what people think when we do something for Christ? How come when we do something in the world, we say, well, ain't nobody's business? How come we say that? How come when we do something, well, I'll do what I want to do. But when it comes to Christ, well they'll say something. Why is that? Are you following me this morning? How about Jeremiah 29? Jeremiah chapter 29. Verse 13, we've quoted, people's quoted all over the church house in years past. It says, and when ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. See, a lot of times we ain't got the Lord. It seems like, where's he at? He's a million miles away. How can he be a million miles away and in our heart? But we don't seek him with our whole heart. We don't desire that. We want a little bit. We want a hot dog with everything but. I want a hot dog with everything but. And every time, Cheryl don't know this, but every time I've ordered a hot dog, they say, Chilean slaw, mustard and ketchup. Yeah, they got, because I didn't want something, so they want to make sure that I want the other. But if she'll just learn to eat onions. If you'll just learn to eat onions, you can just say, I want it with everything. I want Christ with everything. But we don't say, I want Christ with everything. I want Christ with everything but. And you know what? It's the same price. Do you know it's the same price if it's just a plain weenie on a bun or if it's loaded down? But the taste is different. The taste is different. Are you hearing me this morning? This is a simple thought. Just trying to give you a simple thought this morning. All right? How about Matthew 5? Matthew 5. Everybody follow me this morning? Yes. Matthew 5. We're talking about desire, what you want. Desire, what do you want? Matthew 5 verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You will not hunger after righteousness. You will not thirst after righteousness if you're running to the world. You won't. Give me a drink of that water. Give me a drink of that. Well, it's a different bucket. Drink out of a different bucket and what the world drinks out of. Huh? How about Psalms 119? Psalms 119. How about verse 10? So you can't be neutral. It's got to be one way or the other. Look here, Psalms 119 verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. With my whole heart. You know, our theme this year is still keeping our heart fixed in 2026. I'm asking you what you want this morning. I'm not condemning you. I'm not promoting you. I'm asking a question, and I'm showing you the scripture where there's a difference. You got to decide what you want. I can't decide for you. I cannot decide for you. All I can do is try to be there when you fall apart, to help you pick up the pieces because you've decided to go the wrong way. Huh? Last night, before we went to bed, I got home, or I don't know, it was 9 o'clock last night or so, and I sat down to drink a glass of tea, and the Titanic, I flipped through, and I was looking for a Western, and I found the Titanic. And I never had watched the Titanic, and they getting ready to sink. I didn't watch the last few minutes of it. They're getting ready to sink. You know it sunk. Yeah. Yeah. It sunk again. I watched it. It sunk again. You know what I saw? I saw the Titanic going under, and they run to the feller that had the safe, and they wanting their money. All right? So, me, I got on my phone, and I Googled up, and I wondered if that was really true. So I Googled on the phone, did people really want their wealth when the Titanic was sinking? And it said in the history books, it says, and when the Titanic was sinking, that the purchaser was bombarded with people that was lined up while the ship was sinking because they wanted to put their money in their pockets when they died. Their desire was not on living. Because you know, better part of them die.
Right.
That the purser, it says, the purser closed the gate and said, quit worrying. This is what it says if you look it up on Wikipedia. Close the gate and go get a lifeboat or a life vest. Don't worry about your money. And they was all bent out of shape. See, that's where we're at today. We're not concerned about what's getting ready to happen. But I want my stuff. People go into burning houses. Some have been heroic and they went in burning houses to get people, children, old people. But there's some that went in to get a picture. Risk their life in a burning house to get a picture or a whatnot. Huh? That meant nothing. Look at me. The world means nothing. The world does not love you nor like you. They're not for you. They're against you. They're against God, they're against right, they're against the Bible, they're against everything that a Christian stands for. And yet the Christian wants to run back in. But it's going to burn. What's your desire? What do you want? How many watch on the news of an evening to see where the stock is, where the air is pointed, green or red? Huh? Don't raise your hand. How many wonder what the Dow Jones is? How many wonder, did we gain, did we lose? How many? I know of people. I went over to the plant where he used to work all the time, and there was a feller, he's done retired now, he's done dead now, but he was gambling with that 401k, and he fiddled with it all the time. And he worked in the office, and he was always watching to see if he needed to move this over there and move that over there to gain a little bit. And he said, man, I lost $83,000 yesterday. And then he'd go back, man, I got that back. Got a little extra. I didn't know you could do that. I mean, that blew my mind. But here he is, he playing that, and that was all consumed him. Had no thought. Died, as far as I know, is in hell today. Would not listen to nothing about anything. But boy, he was concerned about that. See, you can't have it both ways, is what I'm telling you. You understand? Now, I'm going to say something this morning. Now this is not thrown at nobody. This is just common knowledge. Common things, you know. You know, we watch, like I say, we watch all that and we focus on our desires. That's what we spend our time about, is our desires. What we want. Right? You know, at the sports, there's nothing, everybody look at me, there's not a thing wrong with sport. Not one thing. Other than when you get boys trying to play where girls are supposed to be and stuff like that. I mean, that's just stupidity. Sin and But ain't nothing wrong with hitting the ball, throwing a ball, run after a ball. If that's what you want to do, run after it. Run after it, okay? But the focus, especially of Nicholas County, it ain't just Nicholas County, but this is where we live. But the focus, has took us away from the house of God. Amen. And the desires. And that's not thrown at nobody, I'm just telling you. There's 54 million, in the United States, there's 54 million children from kindergarten to 12th grade, is what the computer said this morning. 54 million. All right? And only 0.03%, only 0.03%, 0.03%, 0.03 will ever have a chance as a professional. Now, there's nothing wrong with sport. There's nothing wrong with hunting and fishing. There's nothing wrong with boating and four-wheelers and side-by-sides and baseballs and footballs and kickballs. There's nothing wrong with none of that. That ain't what we're preaching about. We're preaching about our desire and what we want, where our focus is. That we focus upon, you can either focus on Christ or the thing. You can't focus on both. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot. Right? Well, do we want people saved? There was a time, right? In my day, there was a time that moms and dads laid on the altar and wept over their lost children. There was a time that lost wives would lay on the altar and weep over their lost husband. A time that lost husbands would weep over their lost families. There was a time that mamas and dads would walk the aisle together and shed tears at the altar Sunday after Sunday after Sunday because their families was lost. Now, does this mean because we don't see that they don't want nobody saved? No. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just talking about the desire that motivates us to wish or want something with deep intent, a powerful urge, ambition, or craving, to attain something. Let me show you a good desire about seeing people saved. How about Romans chapter 9? Let's look at Romans chapter 10 first. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's what Paul said. Paul wasn't worried about just one. He was worried about all of them. Okay. He was worried about all of them. Now, let's look over chapter 9 and look at verse 1 through 3. It says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish. Now that wish, that's what the verb for desire was, wasn't it? You know what the verb was, to wish or want something with deep intent? desire, that I might, that I have great heaviness and continue to start more, for I could desire, I could want, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. The desire burnt so much in Paul's heart over the loss that he said, if I could trade my salvation, I'll go to hell if my family will get saved. That's what he says there. Then did he not say in, there to the church at Corinth, he said, I became all things to all men, that I might at least save some. There was a desire he was willing to do. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. I can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. We're either for or against. We either want or we don't want. But it's everyone's decision. But I'm telling you, you think you can have it both ways. No, you can't. No, you can't have it both ways. You say, well, Paul was a unique man. Boy, wasn't he, though? I don't know of anybody quite like him until I read in Exodus chapter 32. When I read in Exodus chapter 2, I find another guy. Exodus chapter 32, verse 30, says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. In other words, he went and prayed, God, if forgive them. They sin, please forgive them. But if you ain't going to forgive them, then kill me too. Because if they're not going to live, I'm not going to live. If they're not going over, I'm not going over. I think he might have had his desires right. What do you think? I think he wanted, I think he was serious. I think he was addicted. A desire to do what's necessary. A desire for the things of God. What do you want? What do you want this morning? How about Psalms 37? What do you want? Do you want him? I ask you, do you know him? If you know him, do you want him? And do you want him? How about Psalms 37? Verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You see the separation there? Can you see the separation there? You're not going to get the desires of thy heart without delighting yourself in the Lord. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. How about Psalms 27? Psalms 27, verse 4. What do you want? Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's what he said. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
How about Psalms 42? Desire what we want. Look at verse 1 and 2. Psalms 42, 1 and 2. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My soul thirsteth for God. Do you thirst for God? What are we in this for? Have we forgotten the spiritual aspect of the Word of God and become humanist?
That's good.
to where it's just to please my flesh? Or is Christ really the main cog in this thing? Do you thirst after a relationship with an almighty God? Do you thirst? Do you wake up of a morning thirsting for Him? Well, I read His Word every day. Well, lost people read His Word every day. I'm talking about Him. Do you seek Him? Huh? We sing the song every now and then. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that homeland. I want to know everything about. And I like that second one. I want to know more. Yes, I want to know more than I know now. Are we thirsty after thank God? And one more, and we'll go home. Sure, you go on the piano. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. See, it's not just Old Testament. But Philippians chapter 2, and look at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. See, when we're saved, God works on the inside. And He'll put a desire in our heart to find the will of God. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I'm just asking this morning, I'm just wanting us to think. And there's so much at stake. There's so much at stake. The children, the young people, the church, you, our lost people, our community. What do you want? What do you want? Sometimes we don't realize what we're missing. Jesus told Paul on Damascus Road, he said, Saul said, is it not hard you kicking again the prick? See, there's people this morning that's lost and they're fighting. Paul was as religious as he could be. Everything that Paul done, everything that he done thinking he was doing right, but he didn't have Christ. And he said, is it not hard on you kicking again the pricks? Maybe this morning you're not saved. Have you found it hard the way you're living? It just seemed like you're just kicking again the pricks. It's wearing you out. There ain't been no peace, there ain't been no joy, there ain't been no happiness, there ain't been nothing. It's just been, I always think about the man, if I give his name, everybody would know him. Ask him about being saved. He said, I got saved one time. It was the worst experience I ever had in my life. Very famous person here in our county. That's what he said though. Yeah, I got saved one time, but worst experience I ever had in my life. Well, he never met Jesus.
That's right.
Are you saved this morning? And I'm not asking you to be no super Christian. Lord knows, man, I've looked at this and the things that I seek and the things that I lose focus about and everything. Oh, my. Can I tell you this morning? My desire needs to be with Christ. What do you want? What do you want this morning? See, when everything else is done finished, He's all I'll have. And He's enough. What about you this morning? If you ain't saved, you ought to trust Christ. If you are saved and you're looking to the world, get out of the world. The world ain't your friend. Man, let's get hungry. Let's get hungry over the things of God. Huh? Let's quit worrying about the world. Listen, people told me I'm naive and I got my head buried. Listen, I'm not concerned about Iran. I'm not concerned about all that. I'm not concerned about who's in the White House. I'm going to vote. Yeah, I'm going to vote. But I'm not concerned. They ain't who's running things. I'm going to go ahead and just trust the Lord. Father, we're a weak people. All of us. And Lord, there's nothing that I've preached this morning we can do in our own strength. Lord, we've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to walk in the Spirit that we're not turned over to the flesh in the world. Lord, help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and walk the way He wants to walk. But Lord, we're going to have to hunger for it. We're going to have to be thirsty for it. You're not going to force it on us. And Lord, I pray for every believer here this morning that we might decide to want the things that You want. That we might decide to go the way You want us to go. And then, Lord, for anybody that's unsaved this morning, Lord, please draw them to a place that they can trust You. And we'll thank You and praise You for all that You are and all that You do in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together.
It's 282.